90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, our guest that we have in studio with us is somebody who's been here before, Miss Christine Taylor Butler. And we were both in attendance this past Tuesday at the Jackson County Assessment Department's their community meeting, and I'll say that. And it is definitely, it was an eye-opening experience. We went from 2019 to weapon in 2019 to them now saying in 2022, trust us when it comes to 2023 and work with us. But before we get started with that, folks, it's going to be a hot day today, and it's going to be a hot day for the next couple of days. So if you've got elderly, you got your friends, your elderly relatives and elderly neighbors, please check on them, because heat stroke is going to be severely in effect. And if you need to find a cooling center, call 211, and they can help you direct you to a cooling center. Also, Kansas City, Missouri Public Libraries, Kansas City Community Centers, or places where you can go to get cool. Good morning, Christine. Welcome back to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
So, 2 years later, and we're back into the same water that we were before. And after the meeting, I don't know if it's, I think we're in deeper trouble now than we were in then.
Yeah, it's been, as of next year, it will have been 4 years since those property tax notices went out that were clearly wrong. 4 years, almost.
So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Are you originally from Kansas City?
I'm not. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, which is significant because that's Cuyahoga County, which went through a similar bogus property tax issue in the urban core with, I think, the same consultant our city used in 2019. So, gee, I must be bringing it with me. I'm sorry. Yes, we moved here in the late 80s.
So you are an MIT graduate. How did a person from Cuyahoga County in Ohio get to MIT?
Well, okay, so I had a math teacher who was a retired vet who said he noticed that I was the only math student who wanted to do all the weird extra credit assignments and then challenge him on things. You know, back then I was young and he was trying to explain algebra and using X, and I said, you're making this up, you know, making this up. And he told me about a school that was called MIT, and, you know, I'm from Ohio, so I thought M meant Michigan. And he and a counselor suggested that I go to school in New Hampshire where I would be challenged. So I actually went to boarding school as a scholarship kid. And it's the same school that Mark Zuckerberg eventually graduated from and Dan Brown. And I was really, really challenged. And there the language of all the students were, here are all the possibilities for schools, and MIT was one of them. So that's where I ended up going to college. And then I met my husband, who was going to Boston University. He was also from Ohio. And after we got married, he says, you know, do you want to move back to Ohio? And I said, no, not really. You know, I want to try something different. And he fell in love with Kansas City, and we've been here ever since.
So you are an MIT graduate, but you're also an author, and you've written over 40 books. And you are now doing a series by Chelsea Clinton. That is a huge leap from being MIT grad to now being an author.
Okay, so I'm a math nerd, but one of the things I was doing for MIT in the evening was I was running the regional interview team, and we were seeing so many kids from Kansas City who were not reading except for whatever was assigned for class. And unfortunately, that doesn't make for a good college student. You want people who will not only read the assignments, but go to the library and go, you know, what else is there to know? But I also noticed that rural kids in Missouri and urban kids were not getting enough attention. So I actually left my job as an engineering manager at Hallmark to write for children full time. And so I am now up to 90 books. And then I have the Save the Animals series. I'm one of three authors writing for the Chelsea Clinton series at Random House. So that the first one will be Save the Tigers, and that will come out in September. And then the next two will be Blue Whales and Polar Bears.
Excuse me. So you are, 2019, you become the face of the movement against the property tax assessments that were coming out of Jackson County Assessor's Office, Gail McCann Beatty. How did that happen?
Well, it was not intentional. I am self-employed, obviously, so, you know, if I'm not working, I'm not earning a living. But we were on social media, we were on Nextdoor.com, and someone said, take a look at your property taxes online. And we realized the letters hadn't come out, but we had these massive, massive property tax increases. And so we kept thinking, where are the letters? And then we looked at the rules, and the deadline, it was a Friday, the deadline to appeal was that Monday. And no one had letters in their hands. So I called John, you know, I called all the stations, and John Pepitone came out. And he said, well, where's the letter? And I said, that's the point. No one has the letter, and the deadline is Monday. And how are people supposed to appeal? They don't have this. Then I called every news station, and the only one that followed up was Angie Bricono at KCTV5, and it was supposed to be one show, but she kept going. And at one point, she got funding, you know, because the station was intrigued, and we were talking to lots of neighbors and trying to figure out what's the appeal process and how do we get information to poor neighborhoods, and the state county legislators were not that helpful. You know, they really weren't that helpful. So I'm a nerd. So I started looking at property taxes across Kansas City. I started looking at what are the county legislators getting on their houses. And then I had a neighbor up the street who has a house that requires a complete rehab. And Gail McCann Beatty had moved her property value from $170,000 to $450,000, while the more affluent neighbors next to her were valued at less on bigger houses with landscaping and multi-story additions. And I looked at my husband and said, you know, somebody's got to fight for the people who can't fight. And I guess that's going to be me.
So, Christine, on Tuesday, we're both in attendance at the Jackson County Assessment Office community meeting at East Patrol. What were your thoughts as we look forward to the 2023 reassessment cycle?
Okay, so I went in being hopeful, and I even made jokes at the meeting, and I said, ah, you held it at a police station where you're expecting people to start trouble. And I went in with high hopes. But there were a lot of inconsistencies in the way that meeting was presented. It was sparsely attended because it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday. People who work can't go to a 4 o'clock meeting on a weekday with only a few days notice. The second was Mrs. McCann Beatty kept saying, you know, I'm just the person who assigns the value. I'm not the one who sets your taxes. And I said, we don't have a problem with you assigning the value. The problem that we have was when Channel 5 worked with the Attorney General to get your internal emails, they showed that before those letters went out, you knew the values you were assigning were wrong. Wrong. And I said, so we tried to meet you halfway because we ran through this with Curtis Coons years before that, where I think my house came out at close to $700,000. And, you know, I went downtown and I said, you must be kidding. It's just not. And they said, you know what, our system's off. And we compared all of your houses to Ward Parkway. And I said, I'd live on Ward Parkway if I had Ward Parkway money. And they fixed it. You know, I need to be clear about that. They fixed it. And when Curtis resigned, news stations came out and said, aren't you happy about that? And I said, no, he was reasonable. You know, there were no arguments. He came out and talked to the neighborhoods, and we got it fixed. In this case, Mrs. McCann Beatty's department fought us every step of the way, even when it was proven that the numbers were wrong. And then we got the emails where they even talked about my house explicitly in the emails and the value that their own internal certified appraiser had come up with, having visited my house and spent an hour there measuring. And he says, "Oh, Christine, we got this wrong, didn't we?" He said, "Gail sent me out. We got this wrong." And I said, "You think? You've even counted my outdoor uncovered porches over the front and side doors as internal heated living spaces. And two doors down is a fully renovated house that went through a $400,000 flip. I knew the previous owners and I knew the realtor. And I said, I want you to come to my backyard and I want you to look over the fence." And I said, "What do you see?" I said, "That house keeps going while we're standing in my yard. So how do I even have more square footage than they do?" I said, I don't get the logic. And he says, "You know, we'll get this fixed." And then he looked at my daughter's house and he says, "And it's a triplex." I said, "It's never been a triplex. It has always been a duplex, always. And we have a zoning variance because we downsized the neighborhood so it needed to be a single family, and I have a permanent lot variance. Everyone in the city acknowledges it's a duplex. There is no room to make a third floor." I said, "I'm not sure how you got those numbers." He says, "We'll get that corrected." And then when I went to the BOE for my formal appeal, they countered, Gail McCann Beatty's office countered and insisted that my house was worth $250,000 more than what their own appraiser said it was worth. So we had the appraiser called up from his office, and the BOE said, "You know, Walter, are these your numbers?" And he just, you know, he turned pale and he said, "These aren't my numbers." And they said, "Thanks." And they sent him back home. And then the rep from the assessor's office says, "Well, it's not the condition of her house. It's her location that makes it worth $549,000. So they were only going to concede $50,000 on the original assessment. And I said, "You know, this isn't going to fly. It's not going to fly."
Sitting in that meeting, and I go back to one thing you said, one of my comments, which was on tape, and I told her, "This is a blue-collar community." I said, "You're having a meeting on a Tuesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Come back to our community on a Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning." I said, "Because people in our community have to work." I said, "They can't get off at 4 o'clock, have that luxury to get off at 4 o'clock to come to a meeting, when right now gas is $4 a gallon, food, we're seeing rampant inflation across the board with food, everything else." Mm-hmm. People are struggling to survive. And I said to her, I said, "In my neighborhood, it's 55-45, 55% renters, 45% homeowners. I said, what is going to happen when you all kick these dominoes into effect to the people who rent, who won't be able to afford the rent because the landlord just owns the property? He is going to turn around. His thing is, okay, I need to make a little bit of money, but I need the property has to cover for itself. So now he is going to turn around and raise the rents. And there's already a shortage of affordable, clean housing in Kansas City. The housing authority gave out 8,000 vouchers, and there's not 8,000 units available. People are fighting over, they're offering to pay over on properties. What is that going to do next year to people's living arrangements when all this starts to happen?"
Okay, they know what's going to happen. And the reason why they know what's going to happen is it happened in Cleveland. It happened worse in Detroit. It's so bad in Detroit that when I called Quicken Loans to put my property taxes in protest, you know, so that they wouldn't send it as a batch, they would send it as a separate check. The rep at Quicken Loans says, "We know exactly what's going on, because that's what's going on here in Detroit, that the property tax increases were focused primarily on depressed minority neighborhoods. There were close to 100,000 people losing their houses on the courtroom steps to developers. And then it turned out the Michigan law said a lot of those people didn't even owe it because they didn't make enough money." But one day I was at a conference and I was still stressed out about what was going on here in Kansas City. And Preston Smith, who was the Blue Springs rep, on the BOE had been presenting numbers to them and maps showing where the highest increases were. In some cases, up to 1,800% increases. So I said, you know what? I'm really curious. I went through Kansas City and said, let me create a map, or let me see if there's a map for all of the property tax foreclosures for people who could not afford their taxes for 3 years. That map was almost identical to Preston Smith's map of who got hit with the highest property taxes. So, you know, this is my personal opinion, but what is the quickest way to clear the land without condemning properties or having to pay people a fair market value? You make the property taxes unaffordable so the people are forced to move. And there is an email. Gail McCann Beatty claimed she didn't see the email, but Channel 5 got hundreds of emails through the Sunshine request, and one of the emails is a member of the staff mocking homeowners by saying they should sell their houses and reap the profits or take out home equity loans to pay these taxes. Essentially, we needed to stop complaining.
Well, this is the point with that. A lot of the, in my neighborhood, we have a lot of seniors. Mm-hmm. Their houses are only asset. Even if they sell that house, they're not going to get top dollar because the house needs so much in repair. So mm-hmm. a renovator is going to come in and say, as David said, David Nichols said on Tuesday, he said it's all about ARV, after repair value. Well, the after repair value on a house that hasn't been renovated is maybe 25% of the ARV. So they're going to, investor's going to come in, he's going to look at the house, figure out what he's going to get on the house, on the back end, how much in profit he wants to make, how much in repairs it's going to need. Then that leaves the window for him to offer the person their home. And I know there were people in my neighborhood, the Wee by Ugly houses, the home investors, mm-hmm. they were coming and offering people $20,000, $30,000 on houses that, if after they're renovated, are worth $250,000. Why? Because the houses needed new roofs, new plumbing, new electrical. They still had knob and tube, all these different things. And it was, it's not advantageous. And these people that are in this situation are now going to be looking at paying property taxes as if they had a house that was worth $200,000, right. but they couldn't sell it for $200,000 because all the repairs that are needed.
Well, and you couldn't find lawyers who wanted to do the work. And when we were talking to some of the lawyers, and I was talking to some of the judges, you know, they were having to recuse even on lawsuits because they were protesting their property taxes. So, you know, one of the comments that I made was, if you have a new build development, like where Gail McCann Beatty lives, all those houses were built about the same time. You can reasonably assume that since they're not that old, they're all about the same value. But we in our neighborhood have houses that were built in the early 1900s. And one of my neighbors lives in the oldest house in the neighborhood, and his wife died, so he, you know, he's on a fixed income. And they suddenly decided, I want you to think of how long that man lived in that house. His house was worth $1 million. I want you to think about what those taxes looked like. And he was paying quarterly, because, you know, it's public record, so I looked it up. And I realized, if I were dependent on Social Security right now, I'm old enough to retire, I would have to move because the property taxes would consume all of my Social Security taxes. You know, so we had people who were crying on the news because they're trying to choose between property taxes and eating, property taxes and medicine. And if you've already paid off your mortgage, you don't have the option of a mortgage company spreading that out over 12 months.
And that is one of the things that I mentioned. And they mentioned the Missouri circuit breaker for senior citizens. And folks, in Missouri, if you're age 65 or older, you can pay your payments in quarterly installments. And I asked former representative, now County Assessor Gail McCann Beatty about that. And she said, well, those are programs that were done by the state and that we needed to talk to our state representatives and our state legislature because they can't create those programs. And this is an election year. We're going to go through an August primary, These are things we maybe want to start asking people, where do they sit on that? Because for the simple fact is that I know it used to be veterans, and I'm a veteran, we would pay, and then it would get back. You know, we would get a part of it back. That doesn't even happen anymore. And also, look at next year, folks. The cost of living this year has went up so much that a lot of people are going to get increases in Social Security, which is going to render them ineligible to get back to even be on some of the programs or to get money back. And we've always been behind the cart. This gives us an opportunity to get in front of the cart and start asking those questions so that when legislatures go back for that 5-month cycle from January to May, that they can start looking at changing those values so that people next year won't be in a situation where they may find out in September after their bills have increased that, I'm sorry, you don't qualify for that program because your Social Security went up, your wife's Social Security went up, and that pension that you're getting from XYZ company puts you over the boundary.
I also, a couple of things. When these property taxes go up, if you're renting, you're going to pay that. You know, the owner's not going to pay that. You're going to pay that. The second thing that I want to point out is the state legislator had a bill that was something they would put on the ballot. So it wouldn't have been automatic. We would have, as Missouri citizens, been able to vote on it. And it would say, freeze your property taxes at what you paid for your house, and then there would be a cost of living increase every year. So the only time, you know, we're spending millions now on the assessor's office. The only time you would see a property tax increase is when you bought the house. It passed out of committee with bipartisan support. I think there was only one no vote. Then the legislature adjourned until January, which means it's not going to be on the ballot in August, and it is not going to be on the ballot in November. So even if they come back in session in January and put it on the ballot, guess what? That vote won't come until after these massive increases occur. The other thing that I want you to think about is the majority in Kansas City, the majority of those property taxes are going to the Kansas City School District, which is one of only two school districts that is not required to change their levy to prevent a windfall. So they got millions of dollars of extra taxes on the backs of the people who could least afford to pay them.
And also, we have the only school district in the state that I was formerly the treasurer for, is that it's protected by the Hancock Amendment. And they were at the hearings last year when I was there testifying, and they were saying, you know, we don't want to give back the money, we want to keep the money.
Right.
Folks, in Kansas City, and I pulled up, your property taxes go to 8 different entities. Number one is Kansas City, Missouri School District number 33. Number two is the board of, number two would be Kansas City Library. Number three would be Jackson County. Number four is then the city of Kansas City. Then you have the Board of Disabled Services, Jackson County Mental Health Fund, Metropolitan Junior College MCC Fund, and then the State Blind Pension Fund. As Gail said on Tuesday, 55 cents of every dollar they collect goes to Kansas City, Missouri School District. Jackson County gets about 7 cents on the dollar. The other 38 cents on the dollar is broken up among those other six. So if you're wondering in Kansas City, that's where your dollars go. And a lot of people may be thinking right now that this is a Kansas City issue. It doesn't bother me. This is a Jackson County, Missouri.
Correct.
And I'm going to read you the list of cities that are in Jackson County, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri, Lake Lackawanna, Independence, Greenwood, Grandview, Grand Valley, Levesey, which has a town of 108 people, Buckner, Missouri, Blue Springs, Missouri, Raytown, Missouri, Lone Jack, which has about 530 people, Sibley, which has 367 people, Lake Tapawana, Unity Village, with this small portion of 138 people, River Bend, Missouri, Lee Summit, Missouri, Oak Grove, Missouri, and Sugar Creek, Missouri. So these 18 cities are all encompassed in Jackson County, which has 616 million square miles of property real estate. And according to Gail, over 300,000 parcels. As we look at this, Christine, one thing the assessor said this has to be a partnership between her office and the public. After 2019, the process we went through, which resulted in many people having assessments that were very high, how do you go back and fix something that you, according to the emails, you knew was wrong then, and ask people to say, now, trust me?
Nobody trusts her, because the people who tried working with her office were laughed out of the office. You know, I'll give an example. She came to our neighborhood, and there was someone there taping it. She came to our neighborhood, and I was sitting next to a young lawyer who is now one of the people who is running for county executive. And Mrs. McCann Beatty said, I don't want you to lose your house. There's a possibility we made mistakes. Now, granted, at the time, we didn't know her internal emails already showed she knew she'd made a mistake. And she said, you don't have to go out and pay the $450, $500 for an appraisal. Just send us, you know, reasonable information about your house, and we'll fix it. That's what people did. And then, you know, most people know that I filed the first class action lawsuit, especially since they were hitting minority neighborhoods. And, you know, she had come out later and said she didn't hit the suburbs like Bruce Springs or Lee Summit because she ran out of time. So she just gave them a blanket 14.9%. And because of that lawsuit being in the newspaper, she sent the only certified appraiser currently working in the office. A lot of other people were quitting. And Walter came out, and I said, I've got keys. You can see anything you want. And he says, normally we don't go inside. And I said, I don't care. I got keys. I don't have anything to hide. And you can see whatever you want. And he said, you know, wow, we made a mistake. While he was standing on my lawn, I was getting back-to-back phone calls, one for my house, one for my daughter's house, saying that my informal appeal had been denied. And I had uploaded photos of comps, photos of my house. By the time I got to the BOE, I had uploaded photos three different times. They kept getting lost. I went downtown and I found the young lady who called me, and she said, no, I was given a spreadsheet of all the people to call to say their informal appeals were denied. And the internal emails were showing that they were all denied because the people didn't submit appraisals. So you tell people, don't submit an appraisal, then you deny them. And I went to the BOE and I was sobbing. I was inconsolable because of stress. And finally, one of the members said, what's going on? And I said, my informal appeal was denied while their appraiser was standing on my lawn saying, wow, we made a mistake. And then I called my daughter and said, he's going to be coming over. Let him see anything he wants. Wow, we made a mistake. And then I was hearing from senior citizens that they were getting letters back in which it said, okay, we will decrease your value a little bit. And it was full of legalese that included, you can't sue us if you take this and if you don't. And it seemed like a threat. One of my neighbors gave up and sold her house. She's crying. She lived in the neighborhood for decades. And she was giving away her personal belongings for free because she was moving to an apartment. She says, I can't afford to stay in my own house. And I don't have a problem with fair assessments. I have a problem when the assessment office already knows their things were wrong. I also have a problem with a city council that was silent while giving tax abatements. $4 billion worth of tax abatements to out-of-state for-profit developers blocks away from the people who were getting hammered. So when the school district says we don't have enough money, let's go after the plaza. Let's go after Mac apartments. When I go to Home Depot to do work on my house, which has not been rehabbed since 1970, it was a Larry Sells production. When I go to Home Depot, I pay a sales tax. That's in a TIF district. Then TIF turns around and gives $3 million of those sales tax dollars to Mac apartments who can go to Home Depot and does not have to pay sales tax because they're exempt by the city.
Well, let me drop this nugget. We could all be in that situation if the city of Kansas City wanted to do the sales tax revenue bond, so all the tax homeowners that would be going there wouldn't have to do that. One thing that Gail said on Tuesday that really struck out, and you just alluded to, was everybody has to pay their fair share.
Right.
Now, and then the subject that I brought up was twofold. I said, the plaza just sold for $1 billion, $1 billion with a B, and they were able to have the lawyers go down and get the plaza reduced to a tune of $850 million, so it's only valued at $150 million. We see the Walmart model, where Walmart built the Hypermart out there off 87th Street, and then they got the huge tax breaks. When the tax breaks left, Walmart asked for more. If Walmart doesn't get it, then they close shop like they did the Hypermart. Next week's meeting, folks, is going to be at the South Patrol Station, 9701 Merriam Drive, right across the street from Cerner, which was just bought out by Oracle in an all-cash deal for $28.3 billion. And when Cerner started that campus out there, they got awards from the state of Missouri. Cerner, to date, has received over, this is just for Missouri, in 2013, they got $1,635,152,200 in a mega deal. Then from Kansas in 2009, they got $85 million in a mega deal. 2014 in Kansas, they got $48,500,000 for training reimbursement. The total for Kansas three awards, $138,750,000. The total for Cerner's awards is $1,685,074,969, and that's in 23 awards. Cerner was just sold, but those numbers are still valid for Cerner. So how can we all be paying our fair share if the people that may that are at the table who have the high power lawyers are not paying their fair share because they've got lawyers and they've got all these tax abatements?
Right. You're not telling them the worst of it. The plaza, this is what came out in the meeting. This is why people need to go to these meetings. And Joe taped, I taped, because the assessor's office is going to put their own recording up, and I couldn't trust, you know, I might be wrong, I hope I'm wrong, I couldn't trust that that video wasn't going to be edited. But what Gail McCann Beatty and her deputy, who used to be on the State Taxing Commission, said,
Maureen,
said that lawyers for the plaza, lawyers for Walmart and Sam's Club have been tying them up in court, have been running out the clock on these really low, low property tax issues. So who did she go after when she said, you know, everyone has to pay their fair share? She went after the people who couldn't afford the lawyers. She went after the West Side. She went after all the neighborhoods east of Troost. One person was reported in the news that he says, you know, my house has never been rehabbed, and contested his assessment, and then the assessment went up. So there was kind of a mean-spiritedness about it. And I said at the meeting at the police station, we all came correctly. We all said, you know what, this is wrong. What do we do to fix it? And we were given the information, which we then disseminated to the public about, here's how you do the informal appeal. So I'm going to warn you, because I've been told by a former member of the BOE that the assessment department and the BOE now have millions of dollars in funding because they are anticipating a massive number of people appealing in 2023. What does that tell you? That they are ramping up for all these appeals because it's going to be massive. And the only way you can put the brakes on this is you have to make the state legislators accountable for allowing us to have a vote on this. You have to make the school board accountable. And if they won't be accountable, you vote them out, because $3 million or more, and they are at BOA meetings where people are crying, asking, if people file in protest, does that mean we can't get the hands on that extra money? I mean, I want you to think about how callous that is, because the constituents in the Kansas City School District right now are mostly the people who cannot afford to get their kids out. So one other thing she said at the meeting was that she wanted us to be cautious about a law that put a brake on property taxes. I think it's fair to pay based on what you paid for your house, and then you have an anticipated increase based on the cost of living, so the school district still gonna get more money every year. And she says the suburbs appreciate faster than Kansas City. So if that law goes on the books, it means Kansas City will be about right, but the suburbs will be paying less than they really owe. And I didn't have the time to say, then why didn't you target those suburbs? Why did you go after Kansas City by saying it was undervalued? So if you are in Blue Springs or Lee Summit or any of those other places, they are coming for you too. The only reason they didn't last time, and she's on the record because there was a news person there at the meeting in 2019, is the only reason why she didn't hit the suburbs was she ran out of time. So she just gave everyone a blanket 14.9.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And our guest today is Ms. Christine Taylor-Butler, and we're talking about the community assessment, the community Jackson County Assessors meeting that was held this past Tuesday. Stay tuned. We're right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM, KKFI. And our guest today is Ms. Christine Taylor-Butler, who was in attendance with me on Tuesday at the Jackson County Assessors meeting. So, Christine, we've got 300,000 parcels. We've got 8 different taxing jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. The auditor has asked people to, the assessor has asked people to work with them. What people may not know is that the Kansas City, Missouri School District, their levy was set in 1986. Voters, they're in a position where voters have to approve it, and voters haven't approved the levy for the KC Public Schools since 1986. So Judge Whipple put it at its current rate now, which is $4.96 per $100 of assessed value. And they received a $3 million windfall next year. It seems like we're back in the water again. And they're now using a camera system for appraisals in Jackson County. She said a mass appraisal will be used, and they will look at thousands of properties and compare those properties to your home. CAMRA stands for Computer Assisted Mass Appraisal. So, and I recorded it, and I went back and listened to it so I can make sure I had all these things correct. They said most people are used to people coming out and appraising your houses, going in, going out, and come up with a value, but because Jackson County has over 300,000 value, they can't do a mass appraisal system because they didn't have enough employees. And she said right now they have 23 employees, which is more than they had then. They're actually moving to a new building, and they're still looking for employees. And she stated that the county will put on a 4-year cycle where all properties in Jackson County, all over 300,000, will be seen by the assessment department every 4 years. And she also said they will have an updated website to provide homeowners information on the appraisals, when the taxing jurisdictions are having a meeting, and they can get more information about the levy that's going to be set, and also get more information about, you know, their property values and assessments. And I have to ask one question. You were quick on something at that meeting. When you said, you asked Maureen, the first question out of your mouth, you asked Maureen, are you an attorney?
Yep.
What triggered you that she had to be an attorney?
Because she was spouting a lot of legalese. You know, I work with a lot of attorneys, and we have a lot of attorneys in our neighborhood. And what they're really good at is they want to shortcut or short circuit any argument that you might make by jumping forward and making a comment first. And she kept emphasizing that, please remember that by law, we are required to assess your property, and please remember that. And I wanted to say, you know what, we're not idiots, but I didn't, because there were a lot of people, well, there weren't a lot of people in the room, but there were clearly some people in the room who didn't understand how the system works. And finally I said, you know what, that's not what we're concerned about. Everybody knows that. It's not what we're concerned about. What we're concerned about is that everything is based on the values you assign, and the values you were assigning were wrong. They were wrong. And that's not disputable. You know, Channel 5 got 3 Emmys for the reporting. They were supposed to do one show. They kept investigating and showing elderly people who the overhangs over their front door were considered additional square footage. They were wrong. and at no point, except for in the emails, at no point did Gail McCann Beatty say, I am sorry, there was a mistake, we are going to fix it. That is what Curtis Coons did. Man, bring him back, you know, because he was willing to say, you know what, you're right, this isn't right. And the meetings were not contentious. You know, the only mean person in the meeting was his boss, you know. She hurt people, and what really, really bothered me is she hurt people that voted in Frank White. She hurt people who really believed that these were representatives, you know, on the legislatures and in the city who were going to make a difference. And at no point during that meeting did she say, you know what, we messed up and we hurt people. So as it turned out, anybody who did not file a formal appeal and appear in front of the BOE, even if they filed in protest, didn't get their money back. They thought that all these lawsuits would help and that, you know, all the BOE had to do was roll it back. Just roll it back, because it was clear the system. You could have two empty lots side by side. One was owned by the same person. One was 4,000, one was 40,000. Was clearly wrong. But the BOE was scared of being sued, so they said, we're going to do it on a house by house basis. But people who even filed formal appeals were getting the letters in the morning saying, hey, you have to appear at 1. One guy came home from lunch, looked in his mail, and was like, you have to be downtown at 1. Nothing about that system is fair. That's why no one's going to trust the system in 2023. I don't care how much money they threw at that department.
Well, one of the things that we're looking at, as we said, as Ms. Monahan stated, that Missouri state law states that properties must be on the market at fair market value. How can every property be at fair market value when corporations such as the Plaza, Cerner, and all the others have these property taxes where they were bought for one price and then they were valued at another one? We're being told that our property is going to be looking at what is comparable market analysis and comps around us for houses like us. But how come it works for the little person, but it doesn't work for the big person?
Right. And also, if you want to go back to what Maureen said about this is what we're legally required to do, then the assessment office is in violation of the law. If houses of homeowners need to be assessed at fair market value, and she knew that system was kicking out things that were not fair market value, then isn't that a violation of the law? She would say, I don't know, people, you know, they don't pull permits and they don't do work, and how do I not know they're not cheating? And I said, okay, you know, let me give you an example. The man that's been bailing out Frank White lives on property 10 times the size of my house, 10 times. He's on the National Historic Register. I'm on the National Historic Register. He apparently has not pulled any permits. I definitely have not pulled any permits. You can see that in Property Viewer. I have not had contractors over there. I had family health issues that we were helping to pay for. So we weren't rehabbing the house. But I got assessed the same amount as the house two doors down that did a $400,000 renovation. They didn't live there for 2 years. While they were literally gutting that house to the studs. I was considered to have more square footage. I was considered to be worth more, even though there was a sale. They sold it to another couple. But the guy on the property that is 10 times bigger, Ms. McCann Beatty, you know, was quoted in the news of saying, well, but he's on the historic register and he didn't pull permits, so how am I supposed to know? So, you know, if you're a powerful lawyer, and Joe will tell you, this came out in the meeting, the only people who are getting equity or getting less than they're supposed to pay are lawyers.
Yeah, that's true. And it was funny that the gentleman that you're talking about, when Channel 5 did the series, they went and knocked. He lives in behind a gate, so they couldn't do that. So they got a helicopter,
yep,
and flew over his property and were able to see it. And they asked realtors to assess the value of the property. And they were like, you know, it would be anywhere between a $2 and a $10 million property. But
it was valued at $600,000, which is what she valued my house as. And then when her own appraiser said, you know what, she's got a lot of deferred maintenance. I did. The people who sold us our house and the people before that painted over a lot of stuff. So we have to start from scratch. And unfortunately, we are not in a position to gut the house and move for 2 years and do $400,000. But when you're standing in front of the BOE And the news has reported that the value of the house is not $600,000, it is $290,000. And the assessor's representative says, we will stipulate at $549,000. And I said, you must be kidding. You must be kidding. And then we had Walter come up, and the BOE said, are these the numbers you came up with? And he said, no, these are not my numbers. And he goes back to his office, and the rep from the assessment office goes, but it's not the condition of her house, it's her location. Okay, so that means everybody in my neighborhood is worth $600,000 because they happen to live in the neighborhood. Well, we have neighbors who died on their 100th birthday. They have never lived anyplace else but that house. 100 years old, so you know that's not a renovated house. So it was just, it was the meanness of the process that kept me going, you know, because normally I'd say, okay, I've got work to do, but it was the meanness of the way this was doing. And so when you saw Angie Ricono do the map where she talked about Yahtzee, it was because I was trying to help an elderly neighbor file her appeal because she didn't have internet and she didn't have a printer. And I said, I work from home, come on down. And I said, let's look at where everything else around you is valued. And I said, Houston, we have a problem. So I send that to Angie Ricono and I said, how does the Georgian Colonial two doors down that's completely renovated and it's got landscaping and a multi-story addition and a new garage addition, how is that valued less than this woman who has not done any work on her house in 40 years? And then I said, look at all the other houses. Here's one that used to be owned by the Three Dog Bakery guys. And that's when Angie said, it's like playing Yahtzee. You roll the dice and figure out what someone is going to get. And that elderly neighbor has no mortgage, which meant when she got the letter, it literally said, even if you're protesting your taxes, you are still required by law to pay by December 31st. Merry Christmas. I mean, it didn't say Merry Christmas, but that's the part I added.
When David Nichols, he spoke, and he was a real estate person, and he said that the market in Kansas City has went high. We know prices have risen in our city. And I said, we're facing rising inflation. Christine, what are people, when the letters start rolling out next year, and Gail said that now state law requires that anybody who gets more than a 15% increase has to have the ability to be able to have them come in and look at their house for a total assessment. What type of numbers should people start to think about they're going to get come next year?
I'm going to recommend that people take a newspaper and then take interior shots of their house. Don't let them in your house. I mean, I did offer because, you know, I thought Walter was a great guy, but will I let somebody in my house now? No, I'm not, because the process wasn't honest the first time. It didn't matter what Walter put down as here is the real value of her house. And by the way, here are the photos. It didn't matter. Folks, we have to get new leadership. We do. There is no option. We have had 4 years of hell. You know, I got like a blanket 10%, and I'm still overvalued. But I thought, you know, all right, I can weather this, I don't know, extra $50 a month in my escrow or something. But what is really happening is developers have taken over City Hall. You know, I had coffee with a city councilman who swore when he went door to door he was going to be responsive to the needs. We got bike lanes. And I said, we're not fixing the crumbling sidewalks. Sidewalks in my neighborhood haven't been fixed in 50 years. I said, we are not fixing the crumbling streets. We're not working on the lead pipes. You know, we're working on bike lanes. And I said, but every time a property tax abatement comes up for a for-profit development, you are voting yes. And I said, it's not just the county. It's the state legislators. It's the county legislator. It's the city councilman. And what this councilman said to me is, Christine, it's hard because downtown City Hall is overrun with lawyers lobbying for their clients. And I said, but we voted for you. Aren't you supposed to be the taxpayer's lobbyist?
Let me ask you this question. The gold standard in the state, the state board said the gold standard is an appraisal. Should people right now, an appraisal can be $500. Should people right now start saving for an appraisal so that when this comes up next year, they've got a certified appraisal to be able to That way you've got somebody who's impartial. They've come in. They can see the pictures of your home, all these different things. Do the appraisal, so then the appraisal can then speak for itself, and that's what a real estate professional says your house will be worth.
Yeah, but be careful, because one of our neighbors did get an appraisal, and then Gail McCann Beatty's office then reported that appraiser to the state licensing board. State licensing board threw it out. So I brought that up at the meeting yesterday.
Tuesday.
And after the taping was done, and I went up and talked to her, and she said, "Christine, I did file a report because the appraisal was wrong and he was using X, Y, and Z." But I think it's significant to know that the appraisal board, the state licensing board, threw that complaint out. So I don't know who to believe. What I do know is that I'll be watching carefully to see what happens with the suburbs, because they didn't get touched the way Kansas City is. But right now, we have developers flooding Kansas City. That's what Nichols said at the meeting, flooding Kansas City to buy up properties. I have been hammering on my city councilman to go after the 700 investors who came in and bought up single family homes for Airbnbs, you know, that are not licensed, they're not registered. I said, at some point, could we have a city who works for the people who have stayed here for decades, propping it up with their sales tax? Even here on Main Street, where KKFI is, we have all these homeowners who got hit with inflated property taxes, and on top of that, they are now paying a streetcar surcharge. And if they walk to Main Street to buy something at a store, they have to pay an extra tax. So all of that is based on what were wildly inaccurate property tax values in 2019. I am thrilled that the assessment office is now getting more staff and more funding. What I'm not
in a new building.
Huh?
I said, and a new building.
And a new building. What I am not thrilled about is the lack of compassion that they showed towards homeowners when it was clear their numbers were wrong.
As we close out, Christine, what suggestions or recommendations do you have for people as we start to see the property tax values increase based on, we start to have the meetings that are a precursor to the 2023 tax increases?
Okay, on December 31st, go around your house, because that'll be geotagged on your phones or your devices, you know, with metadata. Go around your house and take as many exterior photos as you can, because the tax is going to be based on the value of your house as of January 1st. So I want you to go around and take as many pictures as you can, and then go inside. You don't have to submit this. Start taking pictures of your kitchens and your bathrooms or the condition of your house inside in case you need to file for appeal, and put those someplace safe. If you can, save $50, $25 a month, because you may have to go ahead and get a formal appraisal. And then we need to not just make this a state issue. We may need to make this a national issue. Because across the country, what is happening is this seems to be predominantly occurring in urban areas, not suburban areas, where the people don't have the recourses or the funding to get lawyers to fight back.
I want to thank Christine Taylor Butler for being our guest today on Cowtown Conversations. Folks, the next meeting is going to be Tuesday, July 28th at South Patrol, located at 9701 Merriam Drive. It will start at 5:30, a different time than what it was at East Patrol, and scheduled to end at 7 o'clock. This is information we definitely need to know, and we need to come out. Rest of our Community Minute on Monday, July 25th, the Public Infrastructure Advisory Committee meeting for the 3rd District will be held at Greg Kleist Community Center, which is 1600 John Buck O'Neill Way. The meeting will start at 6 p.m. and will end at 8. The deadline to submit a PIAC application is August 31st. So if you need sidewalks, different things in your neighborhood, definitely, I will definitely be there. Folks, over the next couple of days, it's going to be hot. Check on your neighbors. If you need to find the cooling center, call 211. And for seniors who don't have an air conditioner, contact Project Elder Cool at Bishop Sullivan Center. That's 816-231-0984. For Cowtown Conversations, it's been your host, Joseph Jackson. Join us next week as we talk with members of the Kansas League of Women Voters as we discuss the Kansas primary on August the 2nd. Have a great day. Stay safe. Wear a mask. COVID numbers are rising. Stay cool and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.